Forget bars and fences. Today's wild animal parks and zoos have entered a new era. For example, when visiting the edge of Africa at Busch Gardens in Tampa, you won't see any barriers between the animals. The idea is to make the experience more realistic, to help visitors feel as though they really are on the Serengeti Plain in eastern Africa. It's also more comfortable for the animals. And according to Erica Fry de la Portes from Busch Gardens, it's all part of the new approach to caring for them.
We definitely know that to keep animals in certain parameters, we don't need to use cages and big steel bars. We've learned a lot about behavior through operant conditioning in the past 10 to 20 years. And basically, by using positive reinforcement, we can get the animals to move from one place to another and keep them within what we call natural barriers. And those can be dry, empty moats here that can go down about 30 feet and 10 to 15 feet wide. So basically, it makes it impossible for the species to get in with one another. And it's all covered up at the same time. We have all sorts of lush tropical foliage surrounding it. So from a guest perspective, you're just looking out into the open plain and you don't see all of these barriers that are really separating the animals.
So how do you then decide which animals can go together and which can't?
A really big factor is the fact that we don't have carnivores in with our vegetarians. We might not have any vegetarians to show you all as a result. So what we do with our animals like giraffe and antelope, part of our reason for them all basically getting along with one another is we've got different types of vegetarians. For instance, animals like giraffes are what we call browsers. They eat from the tall trees, whereas animals like zebras are grazers. They eat from the ground. They're kind of like lawnmowers. So they're not competing with each other over food. From a husbandry point of view, our zookeepers can position their food troughs from the food that we give them in different positions and at different heights. So again, when it comes time from the food that we give them, they're not competing with each other.
In the past, I'm quite used to zoos having particular feeding times so that you can come along and watch the animals being fed. Is that something that's still done these days?
Well, with certain animals, yes, it doesn't seem to make a difference. Animals like giraffes, they can be on a schedule where we can come out a few times a day and drop off their food because they are also searching for their food at Busch Gardens. Basically, any kind of tree that's accessible to them, they're able to eat it. So because they're eating all day long, really doesn't matter when our scheduled feedings are. However, animals that are carnivores, like our hyenas and lions, we have learned over the years that their natural behavior is not to eat every day at the same time. And that's because in Africa, an animal like a lion doesn't know when it's going to be able to catch an antelope or a gazelle or a zebra. So because it's very unpredictable, we try and keep that the same here. We don't feed them every day. We know the amount of food that every individual needs to eat on a monthly basis. So we will divide that up into random feedings, different days and at different times.
And what benefits have you seen from doing that?
We've seen a lot more natural behavior, basically more like a wild lion would be out in the middle of the day trying to find shade and sleeping, not showing any kind of behaviors of stress, like pacing back and forth, and that would result from anticipating being fed at the same time every day. So we just see them overall being more relaxed and more comfortable.
Now, what about fitting in with the animal's sort of social hierarchy? Do you have to be careful who you feed first?
Most definitely. A perfect example of that is our laughing hyenas, also called the spotted hyena. They have a very strong totem pole, so to speak. They have an interesting hierarchy in the fact that females are the most dominant individuals. They have more testosterone in their body, which is much different than most of the other animals in the animal kingdom. That role is reversed. So that is responsible for animals' muscle size and the way their brain works. And overall, they're much, much larger. So we have two females and a male. And the two females are more dominant than male. And the top female always has got to be fed first. If we make the mistake of feeding one of the other female or the least dominant male first, then there definitely would be a fight that occurs between them. So that wouldn't be very responsible on our part. So we have to take into consideration their natural behaviors that they would have in the wild and follow through with that here in a zoo situation.
Now, we've reached the hippo enclosure now. Tell me a little bit about the hippos that live here and why you've designed the enclosure the way you have.
The underwater aquarium we have built is the best way to view them, because you are basically on eye level with the hippo swimming in this 150,000 gallon aquarium. We have incorporated many different types of African cichlid fish, as well as some ring-tailed lemurs, sharing the habitat with them. So there's always some kind of action going on for our guests to view. The hippos, being very large, they're thousands of pounds. The best way to view such a massive animal is by being impressed by them and seeing their natural behaviors. So this aquarium allows for people to see how they move in the water, which basically is bouncing off the bottom of the floor, not really swimming, and they can be quite fast if they want to. They go up on land to eat. They can corner on a dime if they wanted to. They can be very fast and run up to speeds of 40 miles an hour. Now, we usually don't see that here because there's nothing really frightening them, but we have found that this kind of open, natural, aquarium kind of environment is the best way for people to understand how they would look in Africa.
From Busch Gardens in Tampa, that's Erica Fry de la Portis.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.